And welcome aboard here as we are back to school in St. Mary's as the kids are finishing up their lunch, which I'm sure you can hear, you know, in the background. We have with us from the middle school, Hunter Bosch is the assistant principal. Elizabeth Johnson is the middle school principal. I want to welcome both of you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, let's begin. Hunter, if you would be so kind, you know, talk with us about your background a little bit, where you grew up, and what made you decide to get into education?
So I went to Shawnee High School in Lima, Ohio, graduated from there, went on to Bluffton University. I played football there, and Bluffton's known for their education program. I was really into coaching at the time and wanted to be able to work with kids, so I felt education was a good step for me. I was a high school math teacher before I came here to St. Mary's at Fort Jennings in Fort Jennings, Ohio. Live in Otterville, Ohio now with my wife and son, and we have another one on the way, so...
congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Just really enjoy working with students. And for me, it's kind of like that light bulb moment when a kid finally gets the concept. And that's kind of what drew me into education.
What specifically brought you to St. Mary's? Were you aware of this city and area growing up?
Yeah. Growing up, you know, being in the WBL, I played against St. Mary's sports and whatnot. But I was just kind of looking for a principal position. I was ready to move into the administrative role. And this came open and luckily got the job.
And how long have you been here now?
This is year number two for me.
Number two, yep. All right. So if you would talk with us, and I know every day is not the same, but in general, what does an assistant principal do at the middle school level?
So that's the big thing is every day is a different day. You never know what's going to happen, what kind of situation you might find yourself in. You know, obviously I deal with attendance and discipline mainly. So, you know, I start the day with duty, making sure all the kids are getting in the building. And then I just don't want to say I wait for something to happen, but you know, I also do teacher observation, student observations. I try to get into the classrooms when I can, but every day is a different challenge.
That was interesting when you said, evaluations mm-hmm. or observations.
Yeah, observations,
right?
Evaluations.
And even with students, what are you looking at? What are you looking for?
Yeah, so the teachers, they get observed every year, whether it's a full observation or a partial year. So we're just going in. We have a rubric we follow to see, you know, if they're, you know, connecting with kids, how their classroom management is, things along those lines, and we have the evaluation process.
Another thing also is, you brought it up, I mean, discipline is part of any school, and
yep.
I'm sure there's a lot of teachers that occasionally have to say, do I need to have you speak to Mr. Bosch?
Yep.
You know, that's life, but also I would imagine that situation is an opportunity, you know, that
yep.
you could talk, what happened, what can we do to stop this, you
yep.
know,
yep.
And make it so that you're working with them, but making it clear that they don't want to become a doctor.
Correct. Yeah. And I like to tell the kids, you know, you come down to my office, it's not always a bad thing. You know, we can find a solution. Maybe it's a student that's just having a bad day and we can learn, use it as a learning experience and grow from whatever mistake was made.
That's true. So hopefully the kids don't hear what I used to hear, which is you again when I
yep,
go down to the
absolutely.
Office. I know it's very hard for people to believe that I ever got sent to the office, but I did, right?
Yep.
And that's a long
yep.
walk.
It is a long walk, yes.
And for you, you kind of look at like this year. I mean, we're not quite in October. You're still young. I mean, there's still a lot of things to come, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, lots of things to come. We have our fall dance coming up. We have the football games are going on. All our fall sports, probably most of them are getting ready to close for the middle school, but. And we're looking forward to the winter sports, and we have a lot of activities planned for the year.
Yeah, and, you know, since you're a sports guy, a lot of those, you know, those JV sports are critically important. For
yep.
one thing, you're feeding the varsity
yep.
team.
Sure.
And some of these kids, let's face it, I mean, there's a bit of a cut-down process. They're not all going to get to play varsity.
Yep.
So you want them to get the most they can out of it, right?
Absolutely, yep. Get the most they can. We want kids to do, and even not just sports, whether they get into the theater or the arts or whatever it may be, but in the middle school, we just want kids to get involved in something,
that's
belong
right.
to a group.
Do it now because you'll be grown up before you know it.
Absolutely.
And generally, there's not time, right?
Not at all.
You've got the kids, the
yep.
job. I don't think you're in too many theatrical productions.
I am right? not. No, that's not my cup of tea.
That's all right. Let's talk with Elizabeth Johnson here, who's middle school principal here in St. Mary's. And first, you know, kindly share with us a bit about your background. What got you into education, and how long have you been here?
Okay, so I'm born and raised in St. Mary's, been here all my life, went to Wright State University for education, and got my master's at Bowling Green and my intervention specialist at the University of Cincinnati. This is my 7th year in administration, 5 as an assistant middle school principal that Mr. Bosch took my job, and I took over for our veteran principal that was here prior to me. So this is my year 2 being the main person at the middle school. What brought me into education is just being there for kids, seeing them grow and be successful, and finding the passion that they have and really building off of that.
All right. What also is it about, you know, the middle school years? Because those are, you know, those are different years. They're not elementary kids, so they might settle down a little bit, not have that energy. They don't quite have the maturity of high school kids either.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying any age group is easy, but I think we could probably make a case that this might be the most challenging.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Like, why are you in the middle school? I'm in the middle school. I used to be a high school intervention specialist and taught with math. And at that time, I was coaching cross country and track, so at the middle school and high school level. So I said I had the best of both worlds. The reason I'm in middle school is because it is those challenging years that you're talking about, like kind of trying to figure out where you fit in, what you like to do, what are your interests, what are your passions. So just trying to help those kids in those difficult, challenging moments and help them grow with those.
That's true. Now, for you, for all the years that you had previously, you know, like been an assistant, you know, they kind of grow up a little. I mean, are you able sometimes, especially with kind of the buildings being so close, you see them in high school now to see how they're doing?
Yes. So I love to see them grow. We see tremendous growth between 6th and 7th and 8th grade. They look like grown adults. So seeing them on the football fields Friday night in the bands and the arts and the theater plays, seeing them out and about in the community having jobs and stuff, is just awesome to see the growth and experience that they've gained throughout the year. So that's really cool for me to see as well.
You know, that's interesting. 6th, 7th grade, usually over the summer, some of them have sprouted up so dramatically. It's like, what? You grew another foot. What's up here? And you're right. That their voices start changing.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fun time, you know?
It is a great time.
And also, you know, you had talked about some of the things that they're into. I'm sure you enjoy, like, seeing some of the plays, hearing, you know, some of the music.
Yes, and
some of the sports, right?
Absolutely. That's something that I enjoy doing in the evenings is trying to attend most of their events. Seeing them somewhere doing something that they like to do other than academically speaking, and having those conversations when they come in on morning duty, you know, saying, hey, congratulations on your volleyball win last night, or, hey, you had a great sack on the football field, or, I loved your band performance. You know, I can't wait till your next one. So those are the kind of opportunities I like to have with students as well.
All right. And similar to what I asked Hunter, if you could talk about a typical day. I know there's probably a difference between a day that you plan versus the way the day actually goes, because everybody's day goes a little sideways, right?
But absolutely.
In general, though, you know, let's say it's Monday morning, you're up and at them. What's the day going to be like?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have goals and objectives for every day, and we like to have routines here at the middle school, but sometimes our schedules kind of get a little crazy with some of the other things. Hunter talked about opportunities we like to give our students, so we try to build that within our school day. So some days on a typical day, I guess everybody is in class doing well. There's little to no discipline. Hunter and I can get in the classroom to see what's going on in there, participate with them, you know, doing some other activities. That's kind of what we like to do. Sometimes that doesn't happen that way. All your plans go out the window, or everything on your list doesn't get checked off, or not even remotely close. So, like I said, we just like to give kids opportunities, give them a variety of experiences. So if the day has to be wound up in a different way to get those to happen, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, some of the things that probably could be unplanned or would be is, you know, you get the phone call, teacher felt fine last night, now they woke up and they are so sick, no way can they work. What do? You probably have a pool of subs you can call.
Yeah, so we do have a sub caller, so they will text or call me, and I will text or call the sub caller, and they will work on getting that covered. But if they don't, or we don't have that many subs for that day, we have to be creative and just trying to find coverage. So sometimes teachers will give up their prep period to help cover, or Hunter and I or somebody else will cover that class period. They will not go uncovered, but sometimes those days can be creative and chaotic. We had a day like that yesterday where we had some really cool Writing Revolution programs that our language arts department's working on. So all the language arts teachers were pulled for half of the day. So finding 10 subs was impossible. So we had to be really creative in getting all that covered. But I'm happy to say we covered and they were able to enjoy that experience together.
I would think sometimes, depending on the subject, it might be fun for you to get back in the class and say, okay, I've got the plan, the lesson plan, and let's see how we do, right?
Yes. I enjoy that most in the math classroom, and I, as Hunter said too, we're both ex-math people. But if you throw me in a language arts, that might throw me for a loop. But, you know, we definitely strive to do our best in those situations and have fun with the kids.
Do you ever have school days that are kind of like a theme day where you encourage kids to dress up? I think Fridays look pretty good for that kind of thing.
Yeah. We just had, we went with the high school with their homecoming theme last week. So kids were dressing up and teachers love those weeks as well. They enjoy, you know, getting out of normal teacher garb and being unique and creative with that stuff. So we like to have dress-up weeks. Fridays are normally blue and gold days, and kids really like to show the Rough Rider spirit.
That's right, school spirit. That's yes. A good thing. Have you also had the opportunity to start seeing, you know, like siblings come through class? Where you go,
Oh, yes.
I remember, you know?
Yes, siblings, and then I'm like, oh, I might have had your parent in class. And I thought that's what happened when you got old, so apparently I'm getting close to getting old. But yes, we do see a lot of siblings and, you know, relatives of that family as well.
Well, once you start, like you said, once you start seeing your friends' kids in school, it's going to get bad when you start seeing their kids.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's when you realize you're the same age as old people. That happens to us. And, you know, if you're around long enough, that is what happens. That also must be pretty neat, though, to catch up with classmates that tell you, you know, I never thought he'd be my kid's principal.
It is. I had a young man, actually a sixth grader, that ran for student council, and on his campaign poster, he said, "I'll let the principal pie me in the face." His mother happens to be one of my good friends and contacted me prior to this and said, "Hey, he wins. I really want you to pie him in the face. I give you permission." So I was like, "Okay, great. I hope this kid wins." He did win, and the other day we brought him outside. We put him on a chair, and I got to pie him in the face and recorded that for his mom. And it was just a great opportunity, great thing for him. And it is kind of fun to have your friends, kids, and, you know, you're in that type of role and just to see how that transpires.
You know, that kid's going places.
Yeah.
Because that's, what do they say, bold strategy. Well,
yes.
It pays off.
Yes.
It did. So,
yeah.
I, you know, maybe other politicians. Vote for me.
Exactly.
I'll let someone hit me if I win.
He was a man of his word, that's for sure.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yes.
You said about 7 years you've been at it. How have things changed over that time?
I would say that they've evolved. There's more, you know, on like mental health and some of the other things with kids that we have to take into consideration. I did start bringing my dog. She's a therapy dog for our school, and that has kind of helped, I think, with some emotions and with both staff members and kids. But I think the mental health is a huge part of our the change from when I was first starting to be an administrator to now, and just making sure that we have enough support systems. And I think St. Mary's does a great job in providing us with the support staff that we have, and our kids are getting the help that they need.
True. Maybe if there's one thing that's changed over that time, maybe over the last 15 years, social media has taken root. That's a lot of pressure, right, to be perfect,
yes.
to put on such a positive, you know, spin on everything, because now our life's under a microscope.
Absolutely.
We didn't grow up
no.
that way, though, you know?
No, and you know, kids with phones, too, they have technology at their fingertips. But yes, social media is intended to be for good, positive things. But unfortunately, what Hunter and I see a lot is it's used negatively. So that's something, another challenge that we work through with kids and teaching and bringing them in people to talk to them about the safety with the internet and how we use social media the correct way. So it is a teachable moment kind of in middle school, but we definitely want them to use those devices correctly.
Yep, there was a time when the bell rang and you went home for the day. But, you know, you didn't, unless you were in a after-school activity, you didn't interact really too much anymore. Obviously, that's gone, you know?
Correct. I don't ever feel like our school day ends because we're still connected to that kid, even though they go home or they go to their activities. We're still connected to them, and we tried to help them with whatever needs they have.
And, you know, another thing, I'm sure you can teach them that this is a good age to do it, even before they get to high school, that, hey, even if you don't you know, even if you're not bullying people online, which we hope you're not, you kind of watch what you post. You think about somebody that had good grades, they graduate college, they apply for their first job. You know, people check your social media, and if they might, you don't want them to look and say, you know, this person seems to, like, every weekend is, or every night is Saturday night, like, they're partying a lot.
Yep.
You know, that they'll see stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and that's why we like to bring those people in and have conversations with kids as a whole group, and then break them into smaller groups that have those discussions about, you know, hey, you're making good first impressions sometimes, and sometimes you're not, and you have to decide what you want to post, and remember that post is not something that I can delete, and screenshots and all that kind of stuff, because somebody says, well, you know, hey, I can post this because I'm feeling sad, and I want to post this, but they don't understand that is on there for the longevity, and it's not something that can be deleted. So we have these conversations on positive things that we want to post, and, you know, try to stay away from those negative things.
Or how to handle somebody that is having a bad day and it's not about you. You posted something pleasant and they attack you for it, and you realize, okay, you didn't do anything, don't engage, move on.
Yes. So we like to have those conversations and try to iron that out here at this level so that they don't make those mistakes going forward here.
That's for sure. And that understand that mistakes will be made, right? We're all only human, and there's still
absolutely. We're all, and they're kids. They're going to make mistakes. I mean, humans do as well, adults and humans alike, so, yep.
All right, I want to, you know, certainly thank both of you for coming on, see what's happening here, you know, at the middle school, all on, you know, one campus, right? The
yes.
School, the high
yes.
School right next to one another like that, yes. So that has to be pretty neat.
Yes.
As well.
It's a great time. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more as we are back to school in St. Mary's. We'll talk with the Marching Band next.
It's a flyer full of savings at Pantry Pride this week. Smithfield Bacon 12-ounce package, $3.99 a pound. Fresh ground beef, 73% lean, 3-pound pack, $3.99 a pound. Boneless rump roast, $4.99 a pound. Boneless, skinless, frying chicken breast, $3.99 a pound. Johnsonville Brats, assorted varieties, $4.99. Blue Bunny Premium Ice Cream, assorted varieties, $3.99. With over 550 craft beers and 400 wines, shop the only locally owned and operated grocery in St. Mary's for the Pantry Pride tradition.
If you want superior quality care for your hearing and balance needs, then you need to contact Family Audiology Associates. Hi, I'm Dr. Ellen Hunter, owner of Family Audiology. Let us use our state-of-the-art equipment and focus on your specific needs. Whether it is hearing loss, hearing instruments, or balance issues, my staff and I will give you the care that you and your family deserve. Family Audiology Associates is just a phone call away, and we would be honored to have you in our family. Family Audiology Associates, your hometown hearing experts.
Healthcare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at healthcare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Here's that song again.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today.
Here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times.
Yay!
Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right. I wanted to say, first of all, welcome aboard. We have Maddie Frankhauser with us, and she is with the high school marching band. Maddie, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, I wanted to get ready to share with us how long you've been here and where you're from and what got you into this.
I'm actually from St. Mary's. This is my 11th year back in St. Mary's, but my 20th year teaching. So in that 9 years between St. Mary's and here, I was in North Carolina for a little while. So I started my teaching career in North Carolina. I directed a few bands down there and then got called home.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because you got to get away a little bit, but then you got to come back home. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Another thing that you're talking about, what kind of drew you to teaching band? Did you play growing up?
Yeah, I did. I am a product of our band programs here. So I started out in fifth grade band with Dane Newlove and Becky Anderson as my directors. And I started actually on flute and then got moved to oboe later on. And in our high school marching band, we're all brass. So I played trumpet in high school. And the rest is kind of history. I decided that I really wanted to pursue music. And I also have a passion for education. So music ed made a lot of sense. And here I am.
How many different instruments do you play personally?
That's a great question. I play everything that we play in band well enough to play along with our kids. I don't professionally play all of those instruments. So oboe is my primary instrument. That's what I play professionally. And everything else is kind of a side thing. Yeah.
It just sounds like fun, like a hobby.
Yeah, it is.
Now, let's talk about all the, you know, the various activities that would require the services of the high school band. You think about games, right?
Yep. Friday night football games are a definite. We're on stage there quite a bit. When we're asked to do things for community functions, we really like to do that. That's a community service. It's a thing that we talk about with our high school kids quite a lot, is how we serve the community. So we march in a lot of parades, all of our community parades. Occasionally we're asked to do some type of community performance where maybe we're new monument, or we're, you know, recognizing a person, or, you know, something like that. And we're always happy to send a group of kids or most of our band to any of events. Kind of depends on what the need is. We have 142 kids in the high school band right now, so it's a large group of students. So if we send a smaller group, it's just, you know, the need of that event.
There you go. You can have several micro bands.
Yes.
Need them, right? 142
yep.
students. And do you remember all their names?
Yes, absolutely.
That's
I do.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Also, you know, it's interesting. We talk about how important it is to have you, you know, at the game. And I have to tell you, I mean, NFL does their thing, but I never want to hear about recorded music for high school and college. Right? I don't want to know that. You got to have the band there. It's not the same, right?
Yeah. It's the sound of Friday night.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, we're the soundtrack.
That is correct. And also, you're talking about in general, when you play an instrument, by the time you get the kids, they're in high school now, so they've been playing for a while, right? They have some experience.
Yeah. We start them in fifth grade, though, and I teach fifth grade also. So I have the luxury of teaching fifth all the way up through 12th grade. It's really what I wanted to do when I started teaching, is teach the whole gamut. I love teaching our beginners. I love middle school band, and I love teaching high school band. So it is really a luxury that both Mr. Spencer and I get to teach in all of the levels. And it's a privilege to spend 8 years with students. You know, by the time they're high school seniors, we've had them for 8 years. So it's really nice.
And what do you think is the number one thing, you know, you would say to any young person that's thinking about playing an instrument? You know, the most important thing that you would say to them, look, these are the things you got to be willing to do if you want to be successful learning, right?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Practice is part of that. So practice is a part of anything that you want to do well, okay? So if we want to go play soccer really, really well, we have to practice it. Practice is just one piece, though. My goodness, have fun. Music is so fun. we all started in band because we saw the bright, shiny instrument and we were excited about it. And that just kind of needs to continue throughout school. So do music because it's fun. And also our motto here is music is for a lifetime. It's a thing that you can start doing when you're a small child and you can continue doing music until you're 80, 90 years old. Like, there's no reason to ever stop. You don't have to stop. You can learn new instruments. You can perform with different groups. And we have the motto, music is for a lifetime. We host our band here. So we have the St. Mary's Area Community Band that is in our band room for about half of the year every year. And it's a just phenomenal experience. We have players from 16, 17 years old to 86 years old. So it's any adult and all adults from the whole area are welcome to come and do that. Dane Newlove is the director of that band, and then Mr. Spencer and I both assist. But it's a really good time, and it's adults who just love music and enjoy it, and it's a part of their life.
I was going to say, yeah, people that remember Mr. Newlove, he's still at it. He's had some shows that either some of them were here. He's been a part of St. Mary's Theater, you know, kind of coming back. So you can always play, right?
Yes.
And for people, it could actually be, you know, everything from, the community band to just, you know, I just want to play right now. I mean, some people have their hobbies, right? Some people golf, some people fish. Some people aren't into those things, but they might take their instrument and just play on the weekend, even to themselves, or play along with music. You know, there's YouTube now. I'm sure there's all kinds of tutorials they can look up and
Absolutely.
New songs to learn, right?
Yes. There's anything you want to do, really. The internet's a fabulous thing. We can look up any music we want to play and play it. It definitely wasn't like that when I started playing, but some of our middle school kids, they just, you know, say, hey, I want to learn this piece, and then they Google it, and there it is. It's online, and they learn how to play, and fantastic.
You know, it's funny. With growing up and years ago, I mean, there were certain songs you always would hear, right? Like Louie Louie is one that every band's going to know, but how that has changed over the years, I can't tell you when it was, but I can remember watching a game, and I hear the band in the background, and I said, is that Iron Man? Are they playing Iron Man? And you realize, you can adapt almost anything to the background.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We're actually doing a heavy metal show this year. So, and that came from our high school senior. That is, they really wanted to do a metal, like, heavy metal rock and roll show theme. And so we ended up with, it starts out with Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss. We've got Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, that's another one that really works with a band.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Pat Boone did with it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And our last tune in that show is called Bread Fan. It's by Metallica.
Yes.
So we're doing
Budgie. Yes.
Yeah, and we're doing Metallica on the field. So, and it works. They sound great.
Absolutely. I can't wait. That's exciting. You know, it's also funny when I hear some of these titles you're bringing up. Those are from our day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
One of the times I saw Metallica, they opened with Bread Band.
Oh, did they really?
I'll never forget that. Yeah.
It's a good chart. Show. Yeah.
Past one, too, on guitar.
Yeah.
So, well, another thing, too, I know you probably can't play all the songs that they want to play, but if you can throw in a lot of the titles that they suggest,
it's
probably good for the enthusiasts.
It is. We meet with our upcoming seniors when they're juniors at the end of their junior year, and they know that it's coming, and so they kind of prepare for that. And they come to us with ideas. So they have solid ideas on shows. They have solid ideas on shows that they want to play, on fan tunes that they want to add, and just things that they can add to our mix. We obviously have our standards, things that we'll play every year no matter what.
What are some of those?
You know, we've got Hang On Sloopy. We play a lot of... Shut Up and Dance is a standard now that they want to play every year. They have a song called Love Drunk that we play every year. I don't think that one will ever go away. Barbara Ann, Crazy Train is probably going to be one of them that they're just going to want to play every year because they love playing it. So,
yeah,
some of those standards stick around for years and years, and then we let our seniors kind of take the wheel a little bit and add some things. So the things that they added this year are like, Don't You Forget About Me.
Yeah, from the Breakfast Club.
From the Breakfast Club. Right. They wanted to play that, so we went out and bought it, and we were rehearsing that yesterday. I'm Still Standing by Elton John. They wanted to play that, so
we
picked that one up this year.
I think his movie helped make that song popular again.
Probably,
it was used a lot in that movie. So good point, It's probably fun, too, when you hear them bring up some of these titles and you think, that's from my time.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's why we joke for years and say we may be older, but our music is better.
Our music was
kids
better.
Kids seem to understand that. So pretty neat.
Yeah.
Also, you know, when you talk about, you know, like rehearsal practice or whatever, when a kid's going to think about joining the band, how much time is usually dedicated to that? I know there's practice, there's rehearsals, there's camps.
With our beginners, when they first start in their fifth grade year, we tell them 10 minutes. Honestly, 10 minutes is enough time for a beginner student to get out their instrument, play through the exercises that we did in class, and pack it up. 10 minutes. As they get older, obviously a little bit more time involved, you know. Some of our high school kids, they probably hit, you know, 20, 30 minutes. They'll hit the things that they know they need to rehearse, and then they'll put it away. So I think the idea is more just consistent practice. You know, we as musicians, if we want to grow and get better, we have to go back to the individual practice, the what we do for ourselves, and then what we do for ourselves leads into what we do in the ensemble, because the ensemble will get better when the individuals get better.
Yeah, I thought about 10 minutes. You know, that was is going to add up to over an hour, right?
Sure.
In a week.
And within the week.
And you think about that, well, 10 minutes is 10 minutes more than you had if you didn't do anything, right?
Exactly.
Almost with exercise, right? So 15 minutes a day.
Exactly.
15 more minutes than you did.
It doesn't take a lot to make an impact.
Right. And you don't overdo it. That's probably something you know, don't obsess on it. Let it be a fun thing, not a stressful thing, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever also sometimes over the years worked with a student that might have their heart set on playing an instrument and you realize, I have too many drummers, or I've heard you play and that may not really be for you? Have you thought about this? You know,
well,
you work with that?
Sort of. We go through what we call our fitting process. When we first meet our students, they're in fifth grade, and we do what's called a band fitting with them, where the first aspect of that is their interest. Like, what instruments are you excited about? What are you interested in? We're going to start there, okay? And so then we sit down with them, and we go through the process of how do I make a sound on that instrument, and can we get them to successfully make a sound? Like, right away, is it a good sound? And kids are really smart. And so when they sit down with an instrument and they initially struggle a lot with one instrument, but then make a really fabulous sound on another instrument, they're like, ooh, maybe this second instrument is the place for me. Like, I made a really great sound here, and they want to be successful. So that's what we look for. We look for where can we find success immediately. We're an instant gratification society, so we got to be able to make sound good right off of that. So that's the process we go through. And then, in our experience, we really don't hit that place where we've got too many in a section. I don't tell kids not to play a thing that they're excited about playing. We want them to be excited about playing it. We want them to play the instrument that they want to play. And typically, it all kind of comes out in the wash. We make a solid band out of just kids that want to play.
That's pretty neat. And also, you know, as we kind of work our way, you know, it's hard to believe we're so far into September already, but I'm sure you're already thinking about some of the holiday shows that are going to be coming up, right?
Yeah. Our middle school bands are already playing Christmas music. They're going to play at Christmas concerts later on in the year. We are preparing our community band to do their Christmas concert. They'd have a holiday community celebration here So we're getting that music ready. But, yeah, we're getting ready for the holiday season. It's September, and it's 88 degrees out.
Yeah, well, and people don't understand. Sometimes they say, I don't want to hear about Christmas yet until after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Well, but when you're in certain businesses or entertainment, I mean, you're preparing for Christmas way in
advance,
right?
Yep.
Pick the songs. And,
yep.
Right?
That's a pretty normal thing. It's Jingle Bells in September.
Yeah, that's right. People understand that. In fact, gosh, people see the Christmas albums that have come out over the years. A lot of them were not recorded at Christmas. You want it in the market at Christmas time? It's probably June or July, and you can imagine Bing Crosby in the studio trying to get a good take of White Christmas because they want it on the market in time, you know?
Yeah, you are right. Yep. So that's what we're doing right now. Marching Band, high school band is heavy into marching season right now, so they're not playing really any Christmas music, but that'll come sooner rather than later. We have a Christmas parade to prepare for, and, some other holiday things coming up. So, yeah.
You know, somebody that wasn't in the band, probably has a lot of fun to play as you're marching, right? You're playing, you're walking, you're taking it with you, and that has actually... Sounds like that would be a lot of fun.
There's quite a bit of coordination involved there. Sometimes they're carrying their music, so they're reading music, marching. They have to know directionally which way are we going to go, keep an eye on the people around them, make sure nobody's stopping, we're not going to get hit. So there's a good amount of coordination involved there, but it is a lot of fun.
Oh, right. I didn't want to thank you for dropping by, and certainly it's a lot of fun to hear about. You know, what the kids in the band are up to. And interesting thing is, up next, we're actually going to talk to the choir. And I'm sure there are a lot of students that are probably involved, right?
Yes, there are. We share quite a bit of students. We have really large band program and a really large choir program. Just love the kids that are involved. They're excellent. Great kids.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate getting to talk with you. And we're going to take a break and switch gears and talk to the choir. Also, we're going to talk to guidance counselor coming up. We're going to meet the high school principal. It's amazing how quick the day goes by, but we've got a lot of great guests planned from now until the end of the week as we continue live at St. Mary's, 96.7 The Wave.
TNT Auto Sales is the place to find your reliable pre-owned vehicle. TNT Auto Sales is a family-owned used car dealership with an honest approach to your car buying experience, specializing in vehicles under $20,000 with competitive pricing. TNT Auto Sales has a variety of vehicles to choose from to fit your budget and needs with fair trade-in values and financing available. Make your car buying experience easy by coming to TNT Auto Sales located on Route 66 in downtown St. Mary's. Check out TNT Auto Sales on Facebook to find your next vehicle.
When you buy your next vehicle, think Buds. Hi, I'm Matt Hamilton with Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Salina. When you buy a vehicle from Buds, you'll have the peace of mind knowing you'll always receive the best service, the best follow-up, and the best deal. We carry a large selection of trucks, cars, vans, and SUVs, both new and used. Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main Street in Salina, under the huge American flag. Visit us online or on your smartphone at budschrysler.com.
You might wonder, John Legend, how do you keep your voice down until legendary? Honey, and how do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC.
The fresher, the better.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
O'Reilly. Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors. Restore quality braking and improve stopping performance with parts and advice from the professional parts people. Save money now when you visit O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're in tune with WCSM-FM, Salina St. Mary's, where we do it for you.
Time now to take a look at our exclusive radar weather watch forecast brought to you by Kitchen and Bath Plus.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 86. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 58 tonight, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 86. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Highs level off around 88 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 89 Saturday.
Kitchen & Bath Plus has hundreds of countertop styles, colors, and surfaces to choose from classic, clean, and modern lines to those warm, rich colors and tones. You're sure to find the countertop that reflects your style and taste perfectly. Take the first step and visit one of our showrooms on Grand Lake Road in Salina or East Main in Van Wert and call for your free estimate today. Kitchen & Bath Plus, find out what the plus is all about. 419-910-9500.
Currently at the Cooper Farm Studios, a 96.7 The Wave. The barometer is at 29.97 inches. Winds are currently out of the northeast at 6 miles an hour. We have sunny skies and 78 degrees. The radar weather watch has been brought to you by Kitchen & Bath Plus. Let's head back to St. Mary's Schools. It's Back to School with Kevin Sandler.
Hey, thanks again, Clay. We're back to school, and this time we're going to talk about, the choir. We have teacher Audrey Lambert. We're going to meet Lorelei McAllister and Corbin DuVernay next. And, Audrey, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
Let's talk about where you came from originally and how long have you been here at St. Mary's?
So I'm from Pittsburgh, went to school at Kent State, and then I've just worked my way west. This is my third school, and it's going to be my last. This is my fourth year at St. Mary's and my ninth year of teaching.
That's pretty neat. It's kind of fun to hear. How did you get from Pittsburgh all the way here? You just kind of steadily worked west, right?
Yeah, Kent State offered me the most money, and I couldn't turn it down. And this job opportunity came open, and I couldn't say no.
That's pretty neat. What as you were growing up, did you always want to teach the choir? Were you in the choir growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in sixth grade, I had the best music teacher. Her name was Mrs. Hamill, and she had the coolest stockings. And I just remember I wanted to be like Mrs. Hamill, and I had the best music teachers in middle school and high school. And they instilled a love of music in me, and here we are.
All right. And when you got to be a teacher yourself, were you able to tell her that? You know, like, look what I did, right?
You know, it's funny. I don't know how to get in touch with her anymore, but I would like to write a letter to my high school choir director who pushed me and tell her all of the things that I'm thankful for that she did for me.
That's pretty neat. So let's talk about, for the choir, how big your program is, what grades you have, and what are some of the things you typically do throughout the year?
Sure. So we have 6th through 12th grade choir at this school, and then Mrs. Koenig teaches 5th grade choir at the intermediate school. 6th grade, 7th, and 8th grade, they're all their own separate choirs. They have about 42 students each. And then at the high school, we have three different choirs, blue choir, which is our tenor and bass, gold choir, which is soprano and alto, and symphonic choir, which is our audition mixed ensemble. We also have an audition ensemble that meets after school, made up of 20 students. And we participate, we do a lot of Christmas caroling around the holidays. The Varsity Voices goes out and performs a lot in public. And then in the spring, we do Honors Festival, solo and ensemble, and large group contests with all of our groups, 7th through 12th grade.
Awesome. What's the students you have? And we'll start with Lorelei first. So thanks for coming out. What grade are you in, and how long have you been singing?
I am a senior in St. Mary's Memorial High School, and I have been in choir since 5th grade.
What made you want to decide to sing?
What made me want to sing is all of my siblings have done it, and my mom is just such an amazing singer and has been a major role model for me.
That's pretty neat. Now, when you do sing, like, what is your range?
I am an alto in our symphonic choir.
All right. You sometimes look back on some of the songs you've gotten to sing. What were some of the ones that really stand out for you?
So we have a thing where we sing a lot of songs that include Joe's or John's, and they're all just such fun songs to sing. So those are definitely my favorite.
That's pretty neat. Being that you're a senior, there's probably a lot of this is going to be the last, that you're kind of going through, right?
Yes, definitely. I do plan to take a choir class in college. So, yeah, hopefully I can continue.
I was going to say, we were just talking about that, when we were talking band. You can sing your whole life, right? Nobody says you have to stop, right?
Yes, that is so true.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate that. And, you talked about you might take a choir class in college. Do you know where you're going to go and what your career plans are?
I do not know where I'm going as of yet, but I do plan to go for pre-veterinary studies.
You know, that there's a lot of that this week. We've had a lot of our students that have talked about how they might want to be a veterinarian someday. So, but all I have to say is I hope you like going to school, because that takes a while. It does take a while.
Yes, it is about 8 to 10 years. Yes,
but you know what? If that's what you want to do, you'll do it, right?
Yes.
That's what it's about. All right, let's take a moment. We're going to meet Corbin. Now, Corbin, what grade are you in? How long have you been teaching?
I am a junior, and I've been teaching since fifth grade.
All right. Now, here's something to talk about. Fifth grade now, obviously, you don't have the same voice you had in the fifth grade, right? How do you deal with it when you start to get a little older and your voice changes?
When singing, I had a lot of, you know, voice cracks because of puberty and whatnot. But I just kind of kept singing through it, tried to stay hydrated, and I didn't let me being embarrassed that I had voice cracks influenced me, and eventually I just grew out of it. Of course, I still have some, but
it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what's cool about that? It's universal. It's not just you, right? We all kind of went through that growing
up.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's pretty neat. Now, if you would share with us, what is your range? What are some of your favorite songs to sing?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about a lot of songs. but I really do enjoy a song that we're currently doing, called Forget It.
It's going to say it happens, you know?
Joe Clark,
okay.
Yes.
All right, awesome. For you, you know, have you thought about, like, what's next for you? You got another year of school, I know, but have you thought about, like, what your future career plans and things might be?
Yes. I've really enjoyed being in choir, and I want to extend that into my workplace. I'm wanting to be a music educator, a music teacher, like Mrs. Lambert.
All right. And, you know, the cool thing about that is that, again, that's something that if you want to do, you can. They need music teachers, right? And obviously, you know, for you, I'm sure you've had a lot of fun doing this and practicing it. Generally speaking, for you throughout a year and with the choir, how much time do you dedicate to practice? How often do you practice? How often do y'all get together and practice?
Practice learning songs. I really only practice during class time, and I get by like that, but other people need to practice a lot more, maybe taking one or two. So an ensemble? Yeah, that takes a lot of time, too. If I had to guess, I'd take 7 or 8 hours a week practicing just for solo and ensemble.
All right. Nothing wrong there. And also, do you also find that, do you like to sing or be out front, or do you kind of enjoy being part of a choir where you can blend in a little bit?
I love singing by myself. I love doing solos. I really appreciate being in choirs, too, but solos give me an opportunity to express myself a little more.
You also find it sometimes hard to be, you know, fair and critical when you listen back to yourself. It must be hard to listen back, hear yourself sing, and decide, okay, this is pretty good, or I don't know about this. And for one thing, when you hear yourself back on a recording, that the first few times, that's kind of rough.
It is very embarrassing. I hate listening to myself sing.
I hear you. Know, after a while, you just get used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
No question for anybody. You know, you record yourself, play it back, but that's not the way you sound to yourself, because we hear our voice through our jawbone and not our, you know, not our earless something or whatever. And that's an experience.
Oh, yes, it is.
All right. Well, we wish you a lot of luck. We're going to talk with your teacher again here. Another thing I meant to ask you about that too, where you work with them on their voices. You kind of assign them, you know, okay, your voice is more like this. This is how you're going to sing, and work with them. Just, you know, when you have a choir and their ensemble singing together, I mean, there is a goal, right? You're kind of trying to make it into one voice.
Yeah. So we spend a lot of time in middle school working on, you know, singing different parts and singing melody and harmony and working through those voice changes and, you know, just kind of addressing the needs of the individual. And then in high school, it's a lot of shaping the ensemble, so working on vowel unification and just the round sounds, making them sound like one voice while singing sometimes 2 to 8 parts.
All right. Now, does that sometimes limit the song you can do, or not really, like you can arrange anything?
Oh, not at all. We can do any song, and if we can't, Corbin Duvernay can arrange it for us.
All right. Yeah, that's the thing when we talk about an arranger, right, and what they do, that you take a song and you may not have a full band to recreate it like it is on the record, but nonetheless, you'll kind of come up with a way that it can be sung. Right?
Yeah. Yep. So Corbin arranged last year. It was I Get Around by the Beach Boys. And he asked if we could do that. I said, well, there's not an arrangement out there. So if you can make one and it sounds good, then we'll do it. And sure enough, he did. And we did. And it was awesome.
I bet it was. That's a good one.
We thought so, too.
Yeah. What are some of the other kind of classic songs that you've been able to sing over the years?
Oh, we do every style that exists. Last year we did, so in addition to Christmas music at Christmas time and some fall, some more classical music, we did our contest music, which we had some modern composers, and then we also had a pop concert. So we did a lot of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
All right, pretty neat. It's just sad, though, when you talk about, like, those eras, like 70s, 80s, and I realized, okay, that's 40 to 50 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Now, like, how did that happen, right?
I know. I'm from the 90s, and, man, I can't believe it's that far away.
Yeah. You talk about 30 years ago, and you go, I remember that.
It's crazy. You
know?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So, you know, for you, you encourage certainly kids of all ages, you know, feel free to try to sing. Even if you don't think you're any good, come see you. They might be surprised, right?
Yeah. Singing is for everybody. Even if you're not good at it, right? Some kids will tell me, oh, I'm not good at singing. Well, that's my job, right? It's to help you be better at singing. Singing is for everybody at any age, any time.
It's kind of like when you're in kindergarten, you go, well, I'm not very good at reading and writing. Okay, but we're not going to quit on that. We're going to teach you.
Exactly.
Because you just started, right?
Yeah, it's a skill, right? You have to learn the skill and hone the craft.
And I'm sure also it's probably know your range, right? If you have if you have a kind of a baritone kind of voice, you got to stick with some things. You probably don't want to sing Bohemian Rhapsody, for example.
Yeah.
You know, but stay like where your talent is.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You wouldn't, what is it like talking about standardized testing, but the same applies. You wouldn't judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree. So if you're a baritone, I'm not going to say you're a horrible singer when you're trying to sing soprano. We'll just guide you to more baritone music.
But do you also find, as I was talking with Corbin about how your voice changes, that you get a few where you kind of say, okay, you've been a soprano for a while. That's not going to work now, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're changing, right?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. You know, we talk about the voice change a lot in middle school. Seventh grade is really when it starts, especially in eighth grade. And I try to get the guys in eighth grade to sing music that they can, right? Music that's in their range. And then I guide them towards, okay, your voices change this way. But I also tell the girls, it's not just guys, right? Girls' voices change too. Sometimes we go from soprano alto, sometimes we go from alto to soprano. It is what it is.
You know, as you get older, I would also point out, you know, as adults, our voices change. You know, some of it, I've got shows I did years ago, and I don't sound that way anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Singers, you know, even some of the pros, Their bands will start to tune down as they get older because they can't quite do it that way anymore, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I tell the kids I'm not done changing yet. Women's voices change until they're 30. Men's voices change until they're about 21. And so my birthday is actually on Sunday, so that's when my voice will be done changing, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
You'll be 21, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'll be 21 for the ninth time.
It happens. Yeah. All right, good for you. You know, it's funny, there was a time that I actually thought 30 was old. Not anymore, no. Thank you so much, you know, for your time. Thanks to the two of you. I know you're going to have a lot of success in the future. No question about that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We're going to change gears, and we're going to talk, with middle school guidance counselors, what we're going to do next as we continue here at 96.7 The Way from St. Mary's School.
We're speaking with Doug Moran of Moran Refrigeration today about service.
We've always prided ourselves on servicing everything that we sell. I really won't take on a line unless I can do the service on it. That's important. That's something that we can offer that the big box store can't. You know, like I say, we pride ourselves on taking care of our customers after the sale, not just when they come in to buy, but long after. We want them back. We emphasize service.
Moran Refrigeration on South Wayne Street in St. Mary's.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS.
They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
And we welcome you back here. We are in St. Mary's. We're in the cafeteria, which I'm sure you never would guess. Here at we're going to switch gears now and talk with middle school guidance counselor, Leslie Solomon, and also Laura Hinson, who is with Faith Evil College, serving families, securing teachers. Well, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Let's, briefly, if you would, let's go about your background. Tell us where you're from originally. What got you into education? How long have you been the guidance counselor?
Right. So this is my sixth year as a middle school guidance counselor. I grew up in St. Mary's, graduated in St. Mary's in 2009, been around here besides when I went off to college. What got me into it, I guess, growing up, I had a lot of respect for my own guidance counselors, Mr. Cheslock, and I have a lot of fond memories of him in high school. And just growing up in kind of our world today and getting to know, wanting to help kids, wanting to be there and support them and support our community and the one I grew up in, I think that's really a big reason for it for me.
We've interviewed Mr. Cheslock a lot through the years.
I believe it.
A lot, too, and what a great guy.
Oh, yeah. I think the world of Mr. Cheslock. I worked with him and grew up getting to know him and his family, and I have all the respect in the world for him.
Let's talk about, especially these days, where some of us who have been out of school seemingly forever, the role of guidance counselors certainly has changed. What is it you're doing for the kids, as a guidance counselor?
Sure. Really, how I word it when I talk to families and talk to people is, guidance counselors are so much more than just guiding them towards, a career, guiding them towards something. Like it's really about the whole kid, the whole person, their family, we help them. The basis of it down to the basics is academic, social and emotional, and career guidance. So obviously that can encompass everything about a kid. And in middle school specifically, it's a very unique time for these kids. I mean, they come in as little, just came out of elementary school, 10, 11, 12 years old, and they leave here looking like they're almost adults already. Like by the time they get to high school, it's just, there's so much growth, so many changes, awkward changes, awesome, fun changes, but it's a really challenging time. And so for both of us, it's a lot of just helping them navigate that, figure out, learning how to work through struggles, learning how to become their own person. There's a lot of work with their kids' self-esteem and how to handle stressful situations and a lot of different things. I think we could go on and on for a while about all the different things kids go through.
Yeah, it does seem if you don't have any insecurities, just watch TV and other things like that, and they'll be happy to give you some, right?
Right.
Unfortunately,
yeah, right.
As they show you kind of an image nobody can live up to anyways, and I'm sure you tell them, you really are fine just because you're honest.
Right, right. There's so much, that's a big difference that, me and a lot of adults and staff members I talk to, is just a huge difference in the exposure these kids have to everything in the world. But they still have the same mind of a younger child. So it's helping them navigate that, sift through the stuff that they have no business looking at or no business worrying about, and trying to support them and navigate through that.
Excellent. You've also brought, Wish You, and we'll certainly meet Lauren Hinkman, who does
from Staffy.
Staffy, we call it Preserving Families, Securing Futures. Let's talk about that. Lauren, first of all, thanks for coming, and the same questions I asked Leslie, too. You share with us where you came from originally and kind of what got you into this. How long have you been doing it?
Okay, I'm Lauren, so I came from Lima, and I went to Lima Central Catholic for high school, and then I went to OSU Lima for college for social work. And this is my third school year at St. Mary's. I work for Staffy, Lima Behavioral Health. We do school navigation, so providing extra support. So it's a similar thing that Kendra does, but we provide extra support, easier access to refer kids to outside counseling.
Excellent, excellent. So, when you probably have decisions to make sometimes, depending on what, a kid is going through, right? And so, where you mentioned, like you referenced outside agencies, that there are times where you know you want to help, that can't happen here. You need to go here, but at least you're kind of still working together in that regard, right?
Yes, and then I talk to parents on a daily basis, like giving them updates. What do we work on during our session? And then, because you normally work with kids 5 to 6 sessions for like about 15 to 20 minutes, and after the sessions are done, like you talk to the parents, like, hey, are you wanting outside services? If they say yes, it's easier referral for them to go see counseling, whether that's here in St. Mary's or Salina, because a lot of parents don't want to travel to Lima, so we provide those other services that are out there around the area.
Yeah, usually when the weather's like this, a trip to Lima is not too bad. When the snow and the ice come, that's a different story.
Yes.
Not to mention the time investment, people do work, and and it's interesting we talk about the pressures of life, right? Well, unfortunately, we tell them, you want to work with them to kind of navigate through some things because you don't want to scare them, but things you get even more responsibility as you get older, right? It doesn't slow down, right?
Yep.
When we say don't be in a hurry to grow up, that's what we're talking about, right?
Right.
For you, having had some time to do this, have you kind of seen some success, where some kids have come to you, they were really struggling, and then you watch them get better. That's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah,
right?
It's really amazing where I do have that daily conversation with parents, how they'll text me like, hey, we have seen improvement. Like, can we see outside counseling? But even like parents are reaching out, I think it will be beneficial to have counseling. And then they still want to check in with Kendra and I to have that support here at school as well.
All right. Let's also, talk about, and I think that, this is just as important too. Where you teach them about, being realistic about things and also like when it's time to back down a little bit. Are you in too many activities? Are you spreading yourself a little thin? Are you getting enough sleep? Why not? The idea of why are you going through some things? It may be that you got to make some major structural changes. Yeah,
there's definitely a lot of students on all ends of the spectrum where students who are really struggling with different things and not knowing where they belong, and students who are trying to belong to everything in the world and also have a lot of pressure on themselves from whatever reasoning that might be, and helping them kind of navigate what's important, what goals they really have for themselves, what are the right steps to take to reach those goals, and trying to separate from some of the other things.
Yep, I think sometimes even as adults have moments where we look at all the things we're in and we realize we've got to back this down because nobody's getting the best of you if you're spread out too thin.
Exactly, exactly. Yep.
For kids, I mean, there are so many things you can be in now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's in, especially our high school offers so many different programs. We're trying to keep adding more in our middle school, but it's great because in a sense it helps them explore different things before they get out to the real world. It helps them explore what their interests might be, but sometimes they do. They want to take on a little bit of everything, and sometimes that makes it hard to really determine what they should be doing.
No question. I also wanted to ask, Kendra, you said you graduated in, if I did my math, you said 09, at the end of high school for you. So you do kind of remember a world without social media. And so then I'm sure you probably work with them on that. Like, maybe you need a little break. You can deactivate accounts.
Right.
Right.
And, yeah.
Are you staying up too late? Are you getting into arguments and things like that? Mm-hmm.
The online type of thing. Yeah. When I was in school, Facebook was just kind of becoming a thing when I was heading to college, but we deal a lot with talking to students about things that are happening online. A lot of it's just, I mean, we see grown adults who have a hard time navigating comments online or what to say online and what's appropriate online, let alone younger kids. And so there's definitely a lot of conflict between students and strangers, between students and other schools, or and just helping them figure out why that's not okay, the seriousness of it, the impact of it, because I feel like they separate themselves from, if it's on a screen, it isn't the same as in real life. But the consequences, depending on what is said or what's done, the consequences are still serious, and they can still have a lasting impact.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I'm not saying it was impossible, but it would have been hard for us to commit a felony from our bedroom. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You didn't have a way to communicate with the world.
That is a great point.
Not all progress is good.
Yeah,
you know?
Because that's a big thing. Like that, I mean, when we talk about how they treat each other, and we used to be able to walk out the doors, and if I didn't want to talk to somebody till tomorrow at school, I didn't have to see them. I didn't have to hear from them. And now it just doesn't really ever stop because they can post things online about somebody, or they can... I mean, it's just a different level.
And I think that's something that we all, you know, can be good digital citizens. And when we see somebody, you know, trashing somebody, even if we don't know that person, you can always hop on and say, you know, this is not cool.
Yeah.
I don't even know who you're talking about, but don't do that. And,
hey,
if they want to get an attitude with you about that, maybe they don't need to be your friend. You really want to be friends with people that go after other people like that online, right?
Yeah, I love that. So we have a group that's called... Positive Peer Advocates. They used to be called the Gatekeepers. High school has a great Gatekeepers program, and we're trying to kind of learn from them, but that's what it's about. It's about being more of an upstander than a bystander, standing up for people when you see something happening, looking for those signs of something that's struggling and what you can do to help them. We actually just got those meetings started for this year just yesterday, so we got a lot of those kids kind of getting excited about what they can do to help with those types of things.
Yeah, and not just that, but also some of the positive things where you can really make some friends. You may not have classes together, but, you know, you can stay in touch, you can talk, you can communicate, you can share good news, everything from, you know, just getting excitement or networking. I mean, it can be a good thing. But even with that, I'm sure, you know, you're careful with, hey, watch if you're posting pictures of yourself, especially if you're not an adult yet. Be careful with that.
Yeah, we I think you've had Mrs. Derringer. Have you ever talked to Sarah Derringer?
Yeah.
She our district mental health professional and worked with us, the high school, well, the whole district, but worked with all of us to bring in some speakers to talk about some of this stuff. Sometimes we can talk to her blue in the face, but you know, sometimes it's nice to have an outsider come in who's a professional in the area. And we have a few different months this year where speakers are coming in to talk to the whole high school and the whole middle school in separate grade levels. And I know they're talking about next month, they're talking about drugs and safety in that regard. It's Red Ribbon Week next month, so just kind of roping that together. I believe later in the winter, we have a speaker coming in to talk about healthy relationships and what that looks like, whether it's friendships or, you know, kids start dating in middle school and high school and what that looks like. And also, I think we're having Officer Rammel and somebody else, I can't remember off the top of my head, we just put the schedule out, but coming in and talking about cyber safety.
Absolutely.
And repercussions to it and the legality of different parts of that.
Well, you know, and as you get older, they say memory's the first thing to go. I don't remember what the second thing was, but, you know.
Right, yeah.
But also, you talked about, like, the healthy relationships. You know, like, you think about the first time you ever dated somebody, and you got no idea. You don't know what a healthy relationship is, right? I mean, you might have mom and dad as an example, but outside of that, you might not realize, you know, this is not right. Why is this person checking up on me every 2 seconds? Why do they get mad one day, but then they're okay the next day?
Right,
you know, that kind of, or your certain friends that always kind of make you feel like you're doing something wrong. Like they gaslight you on things.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes an adult can step in and say, you see, here's the problem. Get this person out of your life. They're toxic, right?
Right, and those are interesting conversations. We'll say that. Because a big part, us as adults, want to be able to tell them, like, hey, you know what? In 5 years, you're going to laugh that you did this stuff. You're going to laugh that you cared about some of this stuff. But you can't tell that to a middle schooler right now. That's what matters to them. That's what they're experiencing. That's all they know. So trying to kind of get to their mindset and talk them through that to help them figure out, like, oh, this is okay, or, oh, no, that's really not okay, and what you can do about it. Probably more importantly, what they can do about it if to kind of figure it out.
And your friends change as you get older. I mean, maybe they were fun in elementary and middle school, and then as they get older, they're not as nice as they once were. That happens.
I don't know many people that are still dating or married to someone they dated in middle school. I know there's a few out there, but
they'd be fun to talk to.
Just because, right? Yeah, because you go in different directions. Not because anything's right or wrong, but you grow differently. But
you also talk with them too about don't put everything online, because a lot of times, let's face it, we've all have watched with amusement because some relationship issues get kicked out rather publicly.
Right.
But you also...
By grown adults. Right.
By grown adults.
Exactly.
And yes, it can be entertaining sometimes, but it's not a good look for them.
No.
You would not want your kids to be doing that, you know. And
100%.
And talk to them about that. But that, we didn't have that growing up either.
Right. We didn't have that place where people could go and just vent to the open air of anybody who wanted to listen and also chime in with their comments.
You didn't bump into somebody and say, hey, Sarah, how's Mike doing? It's complicated.
Right.
We didn't do that back then either.
In the kind of the impulsiveness of younger teenagers and adults sometimes, they can post something when they're feeling a certain type of way, but then, like you said, the next day, you can feel completely different. Well, when it's posted out there, it's out there.
And your friends know.
And your friends know, and everybody knows it.
When you come around again, they look at you funny. Like, I thought you were
I thought you were mad at him.
Well, the cool thing is, if you never put that on there, that's never an issue.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, like a lot of tools, I just got to use it responsibly. You know, because again, there's so many good ways it could be used.
Exactly. I think the internet and social media are, obviously, they're not going anywhere, and they can be such great things, and it can teach people a lot of things, and it's just important to be able to teach them how to use those things and how to use them appropriately and safely and how to be able to filter through some of the negativity.
And I would imagine, especially with your age group, with the middle schoolers, I mean, I'm sure you're letting them know that if you really don't know somebody, I mean, don't be talking to them.
Yeah, no clue. Yeah.
No adult should ever be talking to them.
Yeah,
sure.
I just throw the reference out that I could easily make an account on Instagram and start messaging you. And as long as I have some, you know, weird picture or something, some attractive looking guy, a picture or something like that, I can message you and you would have no way of knowing the difference. And unfortunately, that's definitely an issue.
it has been. We've explored that in the show in other ways. So I want to thank both of you for your time, for taking time out of the day to come see us. And most importantly, I know we'll hopefully do it again sometime. Good to see you again. Nice to meet you as well. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to take a quick break, we're going to meet the high school principal. Talk about somebody that I know is busy. As we continue on 96.7 The Way.
This is Chad Fisher. I'm the lead pastor of Rock City Church. We're launching a brand new location in Grand Lake at St. Mary's Memorial High School on October 6th. And I want to personally invite you to be a part. If you live in the Salina, St. Mary's, or Lima area, or anywhere around Grand Lake, I hope you'll join us for our very first service. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You can learn more at rockcitychurch.tv. We cannot wait to see you there.
This time of the year just gets busier, so take a break and head to CJ's Highmarks in Salina to enjoy the new seasonal favorites. Try the new summer sausage skillet, Caesar salmon wrap, or the Bang Bang shrimp. If you're just thirsty, you can belly up to the bar and grab a lake water cocktail, a pineapple paloma, or a featured mocktail like the Pebbles and Bam Bam or the Strawberry Splash. It's always refreshing this time of the year at CJ's Highmarks in Salina.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover Cashback Match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Welcome. Welcome back here as we are back to school in St. Mary's in the cafeteria, you know, in the commons. Getting kind of hungry. It smells good in here. I've got Jason Johnson with me, who is the high school principal here at St. Mary's Memorial High School. Jason, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, I'll begin by kindly sharing with us your background. Tell us where you came from originally and what got you into education.
Sure thing. So I taught 15 years at Wapakoneta High School, and I taught high school science there. I'm a graduate of Wapak, so I'm now a transplant to St. Mary's, and now I can say I bleed blue and gold for St. Mary's Rough Riders, at least. So I did my 15 years there, and then this is my third year as an administrator here for St. Mary's.
What attracted you to be a high school principal at that age group particularly?
Yeah, so I've always taught high school level, and I can say with my wife being a middle school principal, I give her full credit because the middle schoolers are very different than high schoolers. I enjoy the ability for the high school students to have conversations with me. They have future ambitions at this point. So to work with them and figure out what pathway they want to take is a lot of fun.
No question. You know, it must be really interesting, you know, to think about dinner conversations. Right? You and where if you've got two different age groups there, that's probably a lot of fun sometimes.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And I really enjoy with our building being connected and being able to see some of the students grow up through middle school and then watch them grow through their 4 years of high school as well.
All right, let's talk about that as well. You know, those years of high school, just as we mentioned, there's a dramatic difference between, say, kindergarten, those early years to the intermediate school. But even when you get them in high school, quite a difference from freshman, you know, to senior. And the freshman is still coming off of middle school.
Yeah.
They're really kind of still developing to the point where you've got that senior that's really on the cusp of adulthood. Like, they're right there, right?
Yes. And that's the fun part of my job, watching them grow over the 4 years and figuring out what they want to do with their life. Here at the high school, we offer a lot of different opportunities for the kids. Their freshman and their sophomore years are pretty much set in stone. They take the core classes with a few electives. But once they reach their junior year, there's a lot of different pathways they can go if they're going the career aspect way or if they're going the college pathway. So watching those kids figure out that pathway is a lot of fun, and it's very rewarding as well.
I was going to say, all the pathways you can take, there are so many of them, and none of them wrong, right? For some people, they just want to go to work right away. They've got a great, you know, skill either with their hands or a knack for fixing things,
yeah.
And they're ready to go make a nice living. Others, there's going to be some college involved, particularly like if you want to be a doctor or a nurse or something, they do like you to go to college for something like that, right?
Yeah.
To others that are just saying, hey, I'm joining the Army. I'm ready to go. I mean, all these things, right?
Yes, and we have a little bit of everything for everyone is the way I say it. Our big vision this year is focusing on career pathways and college pathways. And, you know, we have one of the strongest College Credit Plus programs in the area. And a lot of times I talk to graduating seniors who are starting their freshman year in college, but they're actually starting as a sophomore because they were able to take enough College Credit Plus classes on our campus to be promoted to the sophomore level at the university.
Is it just me, or do you feel like that's an idea, gosh, we should have done that years ago?
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. And that's something I feel like we've evolved really well with, and that is, you know, I'm going back to that idea of the pathways. And, you know, with us having the CBI work program, TriStar that we feed into, and then our DECA program, FFA program, College Credit Plus, and then this year we also started an internship program that's called LEAD. And that's providing students with the opportunity to get an internship or job shadowing in their field of choice.
What are some of the fields that the kids have been able to job shadow or intern in?
Yeah, we range anywhere from accounting to the health field, and we have a student who's doing some radiology and nuclear medicine. That was another one we did a job placement for. Engineering, field and forestry. So a huge array of different opportunities for the kids to get experience with them.
Yeah, and obviously I'm sure that goes two ways. It's either going to reinforce that this is really what I want to do or this is not what I thought it was, which is certainly nothing to be ashamed of, right? I mean, there's a glorified version, I guess, of almost every career that's really not reality. Right?
Yes. And we have a student right now that he thinks he wants to go into education, and he was thinking the little kids. So we got him a field placement with the elementary, and now he's kind of questioning. He's thinking maybe middle school is a little better for him or even high school. So it's great for him to get that experience before even pursuing his college classes.
Yeah, that's a challenging piece, too. I would give anything to have their energy again.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
That's all right, too. For some people, you know, maybe being a kindergarten teacher would be their worst nightmare. For others, they live for that. They love that age group, right? Everybody's a little different.
Yeah, yep. And you know, I enjoy the young adults, the high school kids. As I said, you know, I can have that conversation and build a relationship with them. And just being able to help guide them in whatever direction they choose is really enjoyable and probably the most rewarding part of my profession.
That is a fun age group in the sense that they're getting more responsibilities now, like you're starting to see them drive to school, things like that. Or maybe, you know, you go somewhere, like you go out to eat or you go to a store, and the "may I help you, Mr. Gunn" is from one of your students, so that's their part-time job. Like fun stuff like that.
Yep, and that's a lot of responsibility for our high school kids as they are balancing a number of different balls at one point. You know, a lot of them have a job they go to. They're involved in sports, different activities within the school, and then see them out in the community and, like you said, have a waiter that's a student or, you know, someone bagging our groceries at the grocery store. It's really neat to see them take that responsibility.
And so good for them also, right?
Yeah.
It's good to have a job like that. It's good to do some physical labor, learn the value of work, earn some money. I mean, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and that's something I've really found out over the last couple of years in administration, how busy our kids truly are. I think as a teacher, I was a little oblivious to all the responsibilities that some of the kids had after the school day. And now, you know, that kind of opened my eyes up being in administration and realizing all the different responsibilities that our high school kids do have.
All right. And some of that also, can include, you know, sports, for example. And, hey, we call them student athletes for a reason, right? They are the athletes on the field. They're still students. There's grades they're expected to get. But out of that, I mean, if they can handle all of that, I mean, how well is that going to serve them in life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, they're truly involved in so many different things. We have some kids that are involved in three or four different clubs or activities. You throw a sport or two or a three-sport athlete in there, and then most of them have a job that either they work in the evenings or on the weekends.
That's for sure. And also, you know, for you as the principal, I'm sure you go to games, right? You go to some of the theater, the productions that they do, right, and some of the concerts. So I think you're still keeping busy, aren't you?
Yes. I would say I'm more busy now than I ever was, but I love that part of my job, seeing the kids and the different events and the activities that they have a passion for and that some of them really flourish in as well. Some of the kids aren't maybe the strongest academically, but then to see them on the basketball court or football field or tennis court, or see them in a play or at a choir concert, and they're just flourishing. That's really rewarding as well.
Yeah, another thing, too, as principal, I'm sure you do work with teachers. You know, some of them might be new. Others, you know, might also have questions about some of the new things you're doing. So certainly that's part of your job.
It definitely is. And that's some guidance that I also enjoy doing. So, you know, guiding the kids and figuring out their pathways kind of corresponds with the teachers as well. And figuring out when we get a new teacher and figuring out what pathway their style of education is. We work really closely with them and help them figure that out.
You had referenced also that you were talking with a young person who wanted to go into education. So since you are in education, I know you want to help everybody, you know, with their career path, make the dreams come true. But I imagine that that's just a little more special when they tell you, I want to go into education, because that's your field, right?
Yes, it is. It kind of puts that soft spot in your heart, and you really hope that that student not only has a passion for it, but then they have a drive for it that they continue to love as well.
Another thing also is, when we look at a lot of the staff, how many of them are alumni, right, of the school system? And, I think you count in a way because Wapakoneta is not that far away. So, you think about it, there's a lot of homegrown talent here.
There is. And I would say the similarity between Wapakoneta and St. Mary's, they parallel each other very closely, demographics of students, the drive for the staff as well. I can tell you as a teacher in Wapak, there's a huge drive to see kids succeed, and that drive is here as well. And I think that's what makes you a educator at heart. There are certain educators that do it for the love and the passion, and those are the ones that I think as students you remember 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
You had also had talked about, how maybe the first couple of years of high school, everything sets, you got some core classes. Amazing, though, how much more excited you can get about school when you get to pick some of the classes, right? And go, this is what I want to learn this. This is cool. This isn't like this subject I always struggled with, which I know I have to take, but wasn't my favorite.
Yes, 100%. And there's that growth that we see between the sophomore and the junior year. Their junior year, there's so many different directions that a student can go. And like I said, the path is pretty much set for them their freshman and sophomore years. But then when they get into something that they maybe have a little more interest in, that drive is there. And then watching the kid grow in that aspect is great.
Something I can ask, I guess, of everybody that's in education, pretty stunning how quick the school year goes by.
Yes. Yep, I just made the comment that, we're 3 weeks into the school year already, and the school counselor said, Jason, we're about 5 weeks into the school year already, and
yeah.
I'm like, gosh, it's hard to believe that we're that far in.
I was looking at some of the guests I've been scheduling, and I'm looking out, and I'm thinking, October's awfully close here. What's going on?
It is.
Right?
Next thing we know, Christmas break will be here,
exactly.
So exactly. Hard to believe.
People understand that, as they often said, the days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're in the middle of it. Next thing you know, that time goes.
Yep. And when you do something that you enjoy as well, I get up every single morning and I love coming to school and seeing the kids. And I always say when the kids are having fun, I have fun. And seeing the smile on their face really makes my job rewarding.
That's true. That's something I'm sure many guidance counselors, career people, even principals tell kids. You got to find something you love. You might make more money doing something else, but you're not going to be happy.
Yep.
And you'll burn out early if it's really stressful and you don't like it, but it's a good paycheck. Yeah, that does, you can't hold that one for 20 years.
Correct. Yep. I 100% agree.
I want to thank you for your time and amazing how much quieter it is.
Yeah.
Here now, right? All the kids are back in class.
What
a different venue this is when there's like nobody here, right?
Yes.
You can't believe.
Especially the middle school kids, too. They're a little louder anyways because they haven't figured it out quite yet. So,
but I tell you, we salute the cafeteria staff. They've got it down to a science. How quickly they get them in, get them fed, get them out.
Yeah.
And how about a hand for these kids, too? There's no mess here. They pick up their trays. They throw everything out.
Yep.
We have great
kids here. We really do. And the cafeteria staff as well, they did 130 bagged lunches for me yesterday as we sent our junior class to Mission Discovery. So they stepped up and did all those lunches for us, which was phenomenal.
Awesome.
And I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't know where the time goes. That was a very quick Wednesday. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. We got the gatekeepers are going to be here. The industrial tech department's going to be here. Superintendent Bill Rubin will be here along with the gifting classes and STEM. And the math program, who was here earlier in the year, they're going to be here as well. Again, thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to Ashley for her help. Thank you to Clay, our producer. We'll be back tomorrow with St. Mary's for Back to School on 96.7 The Wave.